Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A bill is currently pending in the Wisconsin legislature. It's Assembly Bill 305, dealing with the use of fetal tissue derived from abortion. We're going to be talking to an expert, Dr. Tara Sander Lee. She is a PhD and an associate professor of pathology at the Medical College in Wisconsin. And her comments on this are not only firsthand because she has testified, but they're also her personal views as someone who has deeply studied these issues. Welcome, Dr. Sander Lee, to Faith and Freedom.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the time.
Thank you. Tell us about this bill, Assembly 305. What does it do, or what is it proposing to do in Wisconsin?
So Assembly Bill 305 was introduced earlier this year in Wisconsin by Representative Andre Jacques, that would prohibit the use of fetal body parts derived from an unborn child aborted by an induced abortion for research. To the best of my knowledge, it has passed in both the committee and the assembly and the Senate, but now it needs to actually go for full vote in the assembly and the Senate. And to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't yet done that. It's still pending.
Now, scientists, as a scientist yourself, why have you stood up in support of a bill in Wisconsin that would restrict the use of aborted derived tissue in research?
Well, after the introduction of this bill, it was very clear that the majority of the scientific community was against this bill because they believe these fetal tissues provide the best option for researching debilitating diseases. We were impelled, both as scientists and Christians, to be the voice of the preborn and to create awareness amongst the community and our colleagues as to why the use of abortion-derived tissue is unethical and not necessary. We firmly believe that we became scientists and physicians to serve humanity and to study the natural world in order to improve the human condition, and we believe that compromising these ethical standards undermines our work and taints future discoveries. We also believe that life begins at the moment of conception and that we are created by a sovereign God. So using human embryos or fetuses as objects or means of experimentation constitutes an assault against their dignity as human beings created by God. They have a right to the same respect owed to every person, regardless of developmental stage. And as Psalm 139 states, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know this full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body." So for this reason, we believe that, you know, God's word has you know, made it clear that every child is precious before birth and that we need to protect their sanctity of life.
You know, in 1973, in the United States Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade, Justice Blackmun, who wrote that decision, said that we need not determine whether life begins at conception. He says and gives an implication that, in fact, if it does begin at conception, that's an entirely different issue with respect to abortion because you're dealing with a human life. Well, that was 1973, and frankly, back then, they did know that life began at conception, but clearly now, from a scientific basis, irrespective of what they did or did not know back in 1973, it seems to be absolutely irrefutable that human life begins at the moment of conception. It's not something that is non-human. It is not something that is a different species. Human life begins at the moment of conception.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And we know that DNA is present there from the moment of conception, and it is absolutely scientifically clear that, that's when life begins.
You know, the claim that many claim that research using fetal tissue from aborted children, fetuses, if you will, is essential for scientific advancement and medical treatment. But why is this not the case?
So fetal cells are considered ideal because they divide rapidly, adapt to new environments easily, and are less susceptible to rejection than adult cells when transplanted. But alternative tissue and cell sources are absolutely available for research without ethical concerns or legal restrictions. So when it comes to medical treatment, blood is an excellent example of a rich source of adult stem cells for treating leukemia, lymphoma, and various genetic diseases of the blood. This treatment is commonly referred to as a bone marrow transplant, where adult stem cells from a donor's blood bone marrow are transplanted into another patient with disease. These stem cells from the blood are also found in the umbilical cord when a baby is born, from a person's circulating blood, and even from adipose tissue or fat. Other therapies have proven successful using non-fetal sources. So, for example, bacteria has been used to develop insulin for diabetes, and Chinese hamster ovary cells used to develop Herceptin for breast cancer. And in regard to basic science research, there are several ethical sources available for scientists, including discarded tissue from surgery, tumor biopsies, miscarriages, and the placenta. Even tissue from cadavers has been shown to be useful several weeks after death. And additional sources include the commonly referred to human-induced pluripotent stem cells derived from adult cells, and also stem cells from amniotic fluid. And so amniotic fluid is particularly advantageous because the cells from the amniotic fluid do not trigger tumor growth as do cells from embryos. Vaccines are another area that has received a lot of attention regarding this issue. The polio vaccine was first developed using fetal tissue cells. But developers of the polio vaccine later testified that initial studies were also successful using cells that were not of fetal origin. And several other vaccines currently exist that can be made without fetal cells. And examples include vaccines for measles and rubella. And in fact, the CDC has stated that no new fetal tissue is needed to produce cell lines to make these vaccines now or in the future. Unfortunately, some manufacturers have not taken the time or money to produce ethical versions of vaccines. And for this reason, chickenpox and hepatitis A vaccines available in the U.S. are still made with cells from aborted babies.
You know, in fact, Liberty Counsel has represented a number of people around the country that have religious objections and moral objections to having vaccines from aborted fetal tissue. There are some vaccines that are clearly made by that tissue and that process. And there's other alternatives to some of those vaccines. So take a look at the vaccines. If you're going to get a vaccine, take a look at how they are made and whether they are derived from aborted fetal tissue. You know, what are the concerns, Dr. Sandra Lee, if moving forward, this bill does not pass? Because this particular bill, as I understand it, says that you cannot use, or it would restrict the use of aborted-derived tissue in research. And I would assume that it is coming out of all of this backlash against Planned Parenthood, where they are taking aborted babies and they are selling them for profit, frankly, to so-called research facilities. And so these babies are being killed, and their bodies are being used for research. So this bill, I assume, is coming from that perspective, saying that we will not allow aborted-derived tissue in research. What are your concerns moving forward if this bill does not pass?
Well, we have serious concerns that our scientific colleagues are so focused on making scientific discoveries to treat diseases of today that they are blinded by how morally wrong it is what they are doing. It is not right to exploit one group of human beings for the benefit of another group. And there are many examples in our history where unethical experiments were performed on vulnerable populations because they were so driven to cure disease. And we're afraid that we know that history is repeating itself. So examples include the 40-year Tuskegee trials, which was a clinical study conducted between 1932 and 1972 by the U.S. Public Health Service, in which African-American men with syphilis were deliberately untreated so they could study the natural progression of disease. Other examples include the government-sanctioned experiments performed on World War II concentration camp prisoners, or even the hepatitis experiments performed on children at Willowbrook State School in New York. So just because the government sanctions this doesn't mean that it's right. Another major concern of ours rests on the mother considering an abortion, who is in a very vulnerable position and is often given false hope that her act of abortion will help cure disease. So according to federal law, a woman must give written consent to donate fetal tissue, and only after she has requested an abortion. I have an example of a Planned Parenthood consent form for donating aborted tissue in which they make false claims, and I quote, that tissue has been aborted, that tissue that has been aborted has been used to treat and find a cure for such diseases as diabetes, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, cancer, and AIDS. So it needs to be really clear
there's
that no current medical treatments or therapies currently exist that depend on or need these tissues.
There's no question that there's huge medical and moral issues here. It's Assembly Bill 305. Dr. Tara Sanderley, thank you for joining us on Faith and Freedom.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.